Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
Well, the last time the Blackhawks picked up a win, we had a postgame guest, and it was Mr. Jones and me talking about how great the fans have been here at the United Center and how much he hopes that he and the team can finish off this homestand in winning fashion, and that's exactly what Seth Jones and the Blackhawks do tonight. They come back against the Buffalo Sabres and win it 4-3 in overtime, returning the favor to the Buffalo Sabres, who took down the Hawks in overtime back in October. But more importantly, just an all-out comeback victory, a whole bunch of pitching in from many different players on this team, along with the goaltender of Peter Mrazek, and the Blackhawks finished their longest homestand of the season in winning fashion, 4-3-0, with a 4-3 overtime victory here tonight from the United Center. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight as we recap yet another Hawks victory here at the United Center. Let's head on up to the radio booth and bring in Troy Murray, who is breaking this game down with John Weideman. And Troy, we were criticizing the Blackhawks' play in the first period, which for the most part was a solid, good response coming off of Saturday's game, but you still cough up that damaging goal to Tage Thompson in the final 6 seconds of the first period. Second period, things maybe not looking too drastic, too much of an improvement, but boy, the way that this team was very resilient showed that they still had a lot of fight left in them against a good Buffalo team, and they really turned things around, especially in the third period. This was a fun one to see the Blackhawks pull out in victorious fashion.
The goal by Kurashev at the beginning of the third period really gave this team a reason to believe that they could come back in this third period. Now you're only one shot away, and you know, not that they had a lot of chances, but you could feel the push coming on from about the six-minute mark of the third period. They really had some good pressure in the offensive zone. That energy level was a lot higher, and they were able to get the goaltender on the bench, and it hasn't been very good for them this year in that situation where they have the extra attacker on the ice, but this time Seth Jones fires one from the point, and it ties this one up in less than a minute to go in regulation, and then one big save by Mrazek in overtime, and Seth Jones, the hero, taking a little pass from Tyler Johnson and slamming it past. But we talked about how do they get back into this one? Throw the puck at the net. Get traffic there. And it's exactly what happened on Kurashev's goal with Seth Jones right off the bat. High, or from low to high, have that shooting lane, get it to the net. Not a hard shot, just a wrist shot from Seth Jones. But Kurashev able to get the stick on it and redirect it in. And then from there on, they knew they were in the game.
This just seemed like another game of adjustments, things to be tweaked, things to be improved on. I'm reading this on Twitter. I don't have the official stats, but it looks like that Seth Jones may have only played like 5 minutes in that first period. So maybe a message sent by Luke Richardson, and if that is the case, boy, did Seth Jones respond. I mean, he's a leader in multiple ways for this team, Troy, and he's just a guy that never seems to take anything personally, take anything for granted. He's just always working on improving, and he ends up being a huge piece for this Hawks win, this comeback win tonight.
Yeah, Seth Jones is a guy that I've got the stats here for the first period. That Seth Jones was -2 and played under 6 minutes, minutes and 46 seconds. So that's a kind of well below his period average, so maybe a little bit of a statement there from Kevin Dean, who runs the defensive side of it. You never know what happened on the bench, but ended up with almost 24 minutes, so last two periods certainly made up for it and played extremely well. If there was a point being made, Seth Jones certainly understood that and had two goals and assist in this one to finish it off.
Have you noticed more of this shoot-first mentality throughout this entire team? We've talked about the depth kind of showing up a little bit more on this homestand, different guys pitching in. But are you seeing more of a just a shoot-friendly, shoot-happy type atmosphere coming from this offense, Troy?
Not a whole lot. And I mean, yes, to a degree, but I think they can do a lot more of it. I really believe that if you play a high-pressure game and everybody's on the same page, something like what Carolina does, just getting the puck at the net, just when they have the opportunity, quick wrist shot, traffic going towards the front of the net, knowing that that's the way you're going to play the game. So I'd like to see more of that. We talked about it going into the third period. How do they get back into it? Well, you know, throw the puck at the net with guys going there, and it's exactly how they scored the goal to get back into the game. And then when you looked at the goal that Jones scored with traffic in front of the net, it was Tyler Johnson creating some havoc around Craig Anderson, who wasn't thrilled with the fact, but not a hard shot again. I mean, it's not a big slap shot or anything coming from Seth Jones. It's traffic in front of the net, finding a shooting lane, and then when you have that opportunity, deliver it and hope for the best, and that's how they scored the two goals in the third period.
Well, even the overtime goal is just kind of a hard-working effort coming from Seth Jones and just working towards the net. Let's move to the goaltending, though. This has got to be huge for Peter Mrazek to come back after what happened on Saturday and just put everything behind him and kept on moving forward. He was huge tonight.
Yeah, I think for Mrazek it was a big confidence booster. And the game two nights ago or three nights ago, whatever it was, against Seattle is gone. It's not even in his brain anymore because of the way that he played this game tonight. And that's satisfying, I think, for everybody, because Mrazek is a good guy. He's worked extremely hard. And you look at the way that the season is gone, the record of the goaltender is not, you know, maybe what it should be, because they're not getting a whole lot of goal support. So when you have the opportunity to support your goaltender in a comeback victory like this, you really believe in the guys inside the room there. And from Mrazek, you know, I think a lot of self-satisfaction coming into this one and winning it.
Troy, how big was Rasmus Dahlin not being able to play in 10 minutes of that third period? How much of a factor did that play in, do you think?
Well, I think it does play into it. He's their best defenseman, and you never know what could have happened. He wasn't happy with the first goal by the Blackhawks in the third period. Got involved in the celebration. I don't know what he was doing over there, but there was five Blackhawks, and he was in the middle of it. Ended up getting a 10-minute misconduct. And for Buffalo to have their best player on the defensive side of it out of the lineup for the first 12 minutes of the third period, you know, really is hard. And I talked about, you know, the rhythm of the Buffalo Sabres in their rotation. Who's going to fill those minutes? What are the pairings are going to look like? Who's going to finish it? And I just thought that, you know, the Sabres did a nice job, but could they have maybe pushed the envelope a little bit more if you had Dahlin in the lineup? I think for sure.
Do you have any idea what happened there? It was just very kind of new to me. Is it something that maybe he said in that instance, or is that a hockey rule? You can't be involved in that celebration circle at all.
Well, I didn't really catch what was going on, and I wasn't sure. And all of a sudden, I kind of looked down where the Hawks were celebrating, and he was in the middle of the pile, and he got pushed out of there, I think, by Tyler Johnson. But whether he said something to the officials heading back to the bench, I'm not sure. I don't think that he's going to get the 10-minute misconduct for ending up in the middle of the Blackhawks celebration. I'm sure he didn't go in there on purpose, because you wouldn't be that stupid to do that at any level. But, you know, just a frustration play by Dahlin, however you want to look at it. And, you know, your best player's out. Could have made the difference. They may, you know, Buffalo's still ahead by one, but maybe they're ahead by two because of the play of him on the ice. He's that good.
Right, right. Blackhawks take down the Buffalo Sabres in overtime, 4-3. Seth Jones with the game winner and the equalizer towards the end of the third period. We're going to 11 o'clock, but Troy, I'm gonna go to a break here as we wait for our post-game guest to burn one of these breaks here in the post-game show, and then hopefully we'll have one of the Blackhawks players to talk about that post-game show. So just hang tight. We'll take a quick break. Hawks beat the Buffalo Sabres in overtime, 4-3, 720 WGN. Blackhawks take down the Buffalo Sabres 4-3. After a comeback victory, they were trailing 3-1 at one point. I'm Joe Brand as looking to get a post-game guest in just a few short moments. The Hawks, with the win, improved to 12-26-4. Buffalo moves to 21-19-3 with the overtime loss. Tyler Johnson is going to join us here on the post-game show as Troy Murray's still up in the radio booth as well. And Tyler, this was a hard-working, gutsy win for this team. What allowed you guys to stay so resilient kind of multiple times in this one? Because Buffalo seemed to have control of the game in a lot of different instances.
Well, I think it's just something that we've talked about, a mentality of always trying to play the same way, play the way that we need to play to win games, whether you're getting the lucky breaks or what. It's just something that you just have to keep on pushing through, and I thought we did that. I thought we had a little bit of a slow start, but picked it up and, just kind of, like I said, pushed through it, and we got rewarded in the end.
Tyler, we're going to head upstairs and bring in Troy Murray. Troy, go ahead.
Tyler, on the game-tying goal by Seth Jones, some confusion around the front of the net. What was Craig Anderson complaining about? I thought you were outside of the blue paint, and he initiated the initial contact that maybe was the reason why that they were taking a look at that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I had the same opinion as you, and I think that's why, the goal stood. I think he thought that he was going to be able to come out of the crease there, but, as the rule stands, I get my ice out there as well. So, I thought it was the right call, and, it just happens to go in.
Were you smooth-talking one of the officials there, too, it seemed like?
I was asking the linesman exactly what the rule is as far as what, I mean, goaltender interference right now kind of goes both ways. It seems like no one really understands. But
yeah.
From what I get is, I'm allowed to stand there. As long as I don't move into them, do anything, then it's going to count. And I felt like I was just in that area. And, he tried to push out, but I'm already there. So that's his problem. And luckily, the league saw the same as me.
Yeah, good for you. But, Joe and I were talking, Tyler, before the third period. How did these guys get back into it? Well, shots and traffic. And, we harp on this, and I know that you guys talk about it at length, getting more shots, getting more traffic in front of the net. But the little goal by Kurashev turned things around there, play that goes from low to high, quick shot by Seth Jones. Is that something that the team really has to focus on moving forward?
Well, I think that's something that we definitely talked about. In my opinion, sometimes we play a way too perimeter style of a game, and I just don't think that's how you win in this league. I think you have to get in tight. You have to get shots from the point. The forwards have to be able to crash down. Goalies are too good. They're making saves, so you got to try to make their life miserable. And, after that, that's when you start breaking teams down. That's when you can start hitting those back doors when guys are trying to clear rebounds and stuff like that. So, to me, I think we can do a lot more of that. I thought Kershaw did a great job there, and that's exactly the way that goals are scored in this league is D shooting the puck hard, forwards going to the net, getting some tips, getting some screens, and creating a little havoc.
The depth scoring has been so huge for this team, especially on this homestand. But what's it mean for Seth Jones to have a game like he had tonight, especially with the game winner?
Yeah, I think Seth's been playing outstanding. If I'm not mistaken, I think he had 3 points the game before as well. So he's a guy that, he eats a lot of minutes. He's in every situation. He plays really hard. It's tough on him sometimes when he's not getting the results, obviously, just because he's such a good player. But when he's playing this way and doing those things, he makes the game so easy for all of us out there. So, it's awesome to see him get rewarded because he works so hard every single game. And, you just love to see it.
I want to go back, and it's a two-part question to you, Tyler. In a game against Seattle, Peter Mrazek gets pulled after allowing 4 goals on 5 shots, and Luke Richardson talked about, it was in a lot of ways more of a message that, hey, guys, we got to be a lot better in front of your goaltender. You're hanging him out to dry. What was the conversation by making that decision by Luke Richardson and then moving in? How happy were you for the response coming into this game tonight for Mrazek, the way that he played against the Sabres?
Yeah, I mean, I think against Seattle there, I think everyone had a rough start. You can't just pin that on one person. And, it's tough being a goalie because you usually get the blame for those kind of things. And, it's just undeserving. So, I think the guys as a whole, we all knew that. We all knew that, it wasn't Mrazek that did that. We had to be better. We let them get inside too much, get those shots and those opportunities. And we had to do a lot better. better job, you know, in our house there, playing there. So going in tonight, obviously, you know, Mrazek had a great game, made some huge saves for us, and we just wanted to try to do whatever we can to try to help him out. I thought maybe that first goal could have been goaltender interference, but, you know, we decided not to challenge that. But I thought he responded really well and battled the rest of the game and, you know, was able to get a win. So that was huge.
Well, with the response you guys had tonight, overall this year, it doesn't really matter what kind of loss you might have the night before. This team does a really good job of responding and adjusting and adapting, and even in this game as well. What allows this team to have such a good short-term memory and just keep moving forward?
I think it's the characteristics of the guys in the locker room, and it starts with our coaching staff as well. But I think all of us realize that, you know, you're going to have your off nights, you're going to have unlucky bounces, unlucky breaks, but it doesn't matter what you do today. You're not going to solve what happened yesterday. I mean, you have to keep moving forward. You have to learn from it and then turn the page. You got to see, you know, what you can do better and, you know, try to build off of that. But if you just start worrying about it, this season's too long. You can go down a dark, dark path. And I think we have a lot of guys on our team that are very upbeat, a lot of guys that are vocal and like to have fun. And I think that makes it a lot easier to try to turn the page and just keep on battling for each other.
I know that you do have a good group of guys inside that room that care and want to succeed. But how is it important to have the support of the coaching staff through the ups and downs of this season?
Yeah, I honestly can't say enough good things about them. Obviously, we've had some tough results and some tough battles and everything, but, you know, they keep things pretty lighthearted, but at the same time, you know, really trying to emphasize certain points to make us a better players and better team all together, and they've done a tremendous job with us. So, you know, it's been really good in that aspect. I wish we could be building a little bit more and getting there, but, you know, we had a good homestand here, and we still have a lot of games to be played, so hopefully we can just keep on building.
Tyler, thanks for sticking along. I know we had a little communication issues on where to have you for the post-game interview, but congrats on the win, and best of luck moving forward. Keep staying tough in the crease as well.
Thank you.
That is Tyler Johnson after the Blackhawks take down the Buffalo Sabres 4-3 in overtime here at the United Center. And Troy, you bring up the coaching staff. We've heard Luke Richardson say a couple of times how he wants to just make sure that the culture is the one that is the most consistent for this team. And I think that's really been shown as of late, especially on this homestand, with how they're able to just keep moving forward and keep attacking with what they need to attack for the next upcoming game and not dwelling in the past so much.
I think they've done a fantastic job. And this isn't something that a coach plans for in the summer season. You know, the lack of results and what, two wins in 23 games or whatever they had going there for quite a while. You got to figure it out on the fly. And I think Luke Richardson has done a phenomenal job, along with his coaching staff, of reading the situation, reading the room, and allowing these guys to kind of sort it out. When you're on a team that doesn't have success, the locker room has to become tight. And if it starts to become a room where everybody starts pointing the fingers, you're done, you're in trouble, you're finished, you got no chance. I haven't seen that. I haven't heard that, even in rumblings around the team at practice or anything like that. Everybody's staying on the same page, so you can't give enough credit to the coaching staff. Yes, a lot of things get resolved inside that room, but the coaching staff also has to understand when they have to let the room kind of breathe a little bit, when you have to give them a little bit of space, and when you can push the envelope a little bit more in certain situations. And I think Luke Richardson in saying, listen, that game against Seattle, it's over, it's done with, we're not going to worry about it, we're going to move forward, and relaying that to the team. And, you know, when the coach says that and believes that, the team starts believing that, and the culture that is being built that Luke Richardson is talking about, a lot of that is coming from the coaching staff as well. So you got to give them a ton of credit the way that they've handled this situation and making the team as competitive as it has been this season.
I agree, and it's not an easy one, and the players seem to respond, and the players just kind of all seem to be on the same page.
Yeah, there's no book for that. You know, yeah. you can sit there and you say, okay, this is what we're going to do in the power play, and I don't mean book, but, there's no plan for that. This is something that you just kind of have to have a gut instinct, and Luke Richardson is a former player on good teams, on bad teams. He's been through basically the full gamut of the way that you are as a professional athlete, so he has that understanding, but putting that understanding into play, into... the right moves at the right time. I think he's done an amazing job. I really have. I mean, I feel sorry for the coaching staff at some points because they're not getting the results. I feel sorry for the players because they're working hard and they maybe just don't have the elite level of talent that other teams have that they're playing against. But you got to give everybody a lot of credit. I mean, and again, this was a gutsy win to come back against Buffalo. Down two goals, could have easily packed it in, but they didn't. They came back and they fought hard and found a way to win this one.
I agree. It's a hardworking bunch, and Luke Richardson said at the beginning of the year he wants to be a team where other teams, no matter who they are, don't want to play Chicago. And as of late, the Blackhawks have done a good job at that. Fun win, Troy. Fun day, fun night at the United Center, and fun way to cap off a good homestand for this Blackhawks team.
I have to agree with that, and now they move on. They'll play a couple quick games on the road in two tough buildings, Philly and St. Louis, and then come back and play a team that's having a solid year, the L.A. Kings, on Sunday night.
So do we get you in a couple of days in Philly?
Nope.
another one and done for Troy Murray.
I'm going to take a hiatus here for the next three games, but I will say this. I am going to be back for a lot of the games in the second half here on radio, as Patrick Sharp will be doing a lot more games on TV in the second half, so I look forward to that opportunity, working with John and you and everybody back at the station.
All right. Well, likewise, pal. Great to have you back once again, and we'll talk to you in a couple of days then.
All right. Sounds good, Joe.
All right, that is Troy Murray. He and John Weideman with the call tonight as the Blackhawks take down the Buffalo Sabres in overtime 4-3. We're taking this postgame show up to 11 o'clock tonight. If you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. You can call or you could text. Got a couple of texts already. This one from the 505. His name is Leo, also a former goalie. The NHL and hockey in general need to figure out the goalie interference. We really don't want to become what other sports of the oblong ball have become. And I'm guessing Leo is hinting at pass interference and how nobody really knows exactly what pass interference is. Yes, I get it. I understand. I will say, to defend hockey a little bit, that I feel like hockey's interpretation of goaltender interference is a little bit more direct than pass interference in football, but obviously I understand where the gray area has become. I really like Tyler Johnson's explanation, saying, you know, he's not in the crease, he didn't initiate the contact, and, you know, what else is he supposed to do in that situation? And even was chatting with one of the officials about it as the play was under review. So luckily that one was a little bit more clear-cut, but I definitely understand what Leo's getting at, and I'm sure plenty of other hockey fans think that way as well. I definitely do in some circumstances, just not quite sure exactly what the goalie is entitled to. I know it can be pretty clear when they're getting interfered with right in the crease and preventing them from making a stop, but you know, then you have some semantics like, oh, well, how did that interaction originally occur? You know, who was pushing who? Did it prevent the goaltender from making a stop, or did it just make contact with the goaltender? Let's get to our three-star selection, which is sponsored by CarStar. Trust CarStar, North America's premier collision repair provider with your collision repair needs. Visit CarStar.com to find a Chicagoland location near you. The number three-star, Connor Murphy, he had the game's first goal, getting a great feed from Philip Kurashev in the first period, and netting his fourth goal of the season. At the time, that gave Connor Murphy the most goals by a defenseman this year, but he was surpassed by the number one star. Well, I should say he was equalized with the number one star tonight, Seth Jones, who picked up the equalizer in the third period. The the game winner in overtime. So now he has 4 goals this season, and the number 2 star is Filip Kurashev. But we're going to go ahead and give our player with the most heart, which is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, with teams that take on the toughest cases at over 200 locations. And we'll give it to Peter Mrazek, because not only a stellar night for Mrazek, who had 30 saves in this one, an overtime victory over the Buffalo Sabres, but just a great response and a great way to come back after a rough night against the Seattle Kraken on Saturday. Not even the majority of the goals or the majority of the downside, all Mrazek's fault. I think it was a team loss on Saturday, just like it was a team win here tonight, and everybody pitching in for a good, hard-fought comeback victory against the Buffalo Sabres. To even things up, and also deny Buffalo from winning their 4th straight game against the Hawks. They were trying to go for a franchise record with that mark. Let's get to how it sounded tonight at the United Center. We mentioned Connor Murphy scored the game's first goal, and boy, did he get a great feed coming from Filip Kurashev.
Taves along the left wing boards, leaving it there to Kurashev. Fed the slot, Murphy shoots, he scores! A beautiful play by Filip Kurashev. And heads up all the way, Kurashev in the left circle, pulled several of the Sabres defensemen toward him and found Murphy darting down the slot for a wrist shot that found the top shelf. It's 1-0 Hawks.
That was only the second shot on goal for the Hawks in this game, and it all started as Jonathan Toews won a good board battle on the near side, setting up, or rather feeding it to Kurashev, who set up Murphy, and a really flashy, good-looking goal to give the Hawks a 1-0 lead. Before we get to our next highlight, let's quickly go to the phones, and again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. John is from Elburn, and he was surprisingly pleased with Seth Jones' performance tonight. Go ahead, John.
I was pleased. I was not happy with the trade, and I've not been happy with Seth Jones' performance over the course of the last couple of years, but I thought he stepped up a little bit tonight, Joe.
But now, do you only think it was tonight's effort that's changing your thinking on Seth Jones?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I still the jury's out on him. I don't know. Okay. I think he can do better on a consistent basis, but that's just my opinion, Joe.
Do you think he could do better overall, offensively? What specifically, John?
I think his defense is a little weak. I mean, when you look at him back in the back, he left so many things up. Offensively, I think he's doing a little bit better, and I think he needs to get more confidence. I think he gets in his game a little more.
Okay. Well, John, I appreciate
it. What are your thoughts?
Well, see, it's interesting because I thought you were going to go the other way. I feel like Seth Jones gets criticized more for not lighting up the score sheet because that's the way people are valuing defensive players a lot more this year, or at least a lot more these past couple of years. I think that Seth Jones does a lot of good things that don't show up on a score sheet, like keeping plays alive by keeping it in the zone. He's a huge part of the power play, and I feel like what he has done recently offensively is just kind of giving him a saving grace for the fans that might be too hard on him. And I'm not totally categorizing you in that pile, John, but I do think he does a lot of good things away from the puck, a lot of little things well. So I do hope that maybe you can look at his game with a little bit more of an open mind. And I'm not saying you're closed-minded on this, because again, I appreciate the honesty on it. But that's where I come from in the Seth Jones analysis.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate your comments, Joe. I'm still, like I said, the jury's still out. I think he's got to step up his game a little bit more to be able to play with what we want from the Hawks going forward. That's just where I am.
All right. Well, I hear you, John. John, thanks for chiming in. Have a good night.
Take care, buddy. Talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. That is John from Elburn. Again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. You could be like Matt from Schaumburg, who agrees with the goaltender interference comments earlier in the show. Matt, are you talking about what Tyler Johnson had to say or something else?
What Tyler had to say. Like I said, it's too much back and forth with one game it isn't, one game it is. It's like he probably what he's referring to is with the pass interference in football, and that's just gotten, I think that's even more ridiculous, but we won't go down that path right now. So they need to figure it out and get on top of it before it gets to be like pass interference.
Right, right. Before it ends up deciding Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, right, Matt?
Yeah.
Matt, were you at the game tonight?
I was not.
Just on the road? Are you working tonight? Or
Yeah, I'm just on the road.
Okay, all right. Well, drive safe. Thanks for chiming in. Don't be a stranger.
Yep, thank you.
All right, that is Matt from Schaumburg. Blackhawks beat the Buffalo Sabres in overtime tonight, 4-3, as we're taking the postgame show up to 11 o'clock tonight. If you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. We're jumping to a text right now from the 708 area code. When do you get a penalty for challenging goalie interference, and when do you get a free look from Toronto? Well, you get a penalty when you challenge something like goaltender interference and it doesn't get overturned. You get a delay of game penalty. When do you get a free look from Toronto? I'm not entirely sure. I want to say it's up to the officials to just go ahead and take matters into their own hands and get a look from the Situation Room. This coming from Leo from Albuquerque. Seth Jones is the Dirk Graham of defense. Listen, I know there's still a lot of people who are very critical of Seth Jones, but I'll stick to what I said earlier to John from Melbourne. He does a lot of the little things right. He does a lot of things that don't show up on a score sheet, and I get people want to see a lot of offense coming from defensemen, but I don't think that should be the main deciding factor of how good a defenseman is. Just because guys like Rasmus Dahlin, Adam Fox, Erik Karlsson, who's the guy from Winnipeg, Josh Morrissey, are lighting up the score sheet right now, and that's huge for them and huge for their teams, you still need defense to be defense. And the offense can just kind of be icing on the cake. That doesn't mean I don't want to see Seth Jones not shoot the puck as much as he has been lately. I think that's been huge just because it kind of instills a good shoot-first mentality for this entire team. It creates things. It makes things happen. And then why don't you look what happened tonight? He gets the equalizer and the overtime game-winning goal as the Hawks beat the Buffalo Sabres. Let's get back to our highlights quickly, and we'll go to the equalizer for Buffalo when they tied up the game 1-1 in the first period.
Just along the goal line to the net. They score! Victor Olofsson, I believe, was the guy that was on the other side of the cage. He got a stick on that puck. Peter Mrazek is claiming that there was some goaltender interference on this play, and we'll need a second look to be able to tell. But no, it's Olofsson's goal.
And then later on, Buffalo would take their first lead of the night.
Skinner's got it there, rolls into the right circle, fed it across. Thompson moves in, shoots, and scores. Tremendous hands on Tage Thompson. Caught that puck. He was behind one of the Blackhawk defenders and actually had to deke around him and put it in behind Mrazek. It's now 2-1 Buffalo with just under 7 seconds left in the period.
That was a pretty big goal because the Blackhawks were doing an okay job in that first period, just limiting the damage and not allowing Buffalo to take off too much. But you allow Tage Thompson to score with 7 seconds left in the first period. All of a sudden, it kind of takes the wind out of your sails and gives them a jolt of life heading into that second period. But that clearly, that did help Buffalo moving into that second period. They got the only goal of that stanza, a shorthanded goal, and gave them a 3-1 lead, making it very difficult for the Blackhawks to come back in this one. But they did have a lot of fight left in them. Let's fast forward to the third period where the Blackhawks were down by 2 goals, but they quickly got on the board.
Here's Seth Jones with a shot. He scores! It's tipped in front of the net, I believe, Kurashev. And the Hawks get one back. The goal at 1:34 of period number three. It is going to be Philip Kurashev's goal. So an encouraging start for the Hawks.
So just another example of Seth Jones' shoot-first mentality producing another goal. We do have to get to some more highlights, but let's quickly go to the phones once again. Let's go to Leo from Albuquerque, who we've already heard on the text line. We've heard him on the phone line before, but just, again, adding to Seth Jones' positivity and the good things about Seth Jones, the Dirk Graham of defense, does a lot behind the scenes. You think so, huh, Leo?
I do. I think that hockey is a sport that the play is not necessarily recorded in the score sheet.
Right.
And I wanted to elaborate that I think that he's a Dirk Graham of defense is because he's doing a lot. He's doing a lot of things that what we don't see as fans in the game. In fact, I would bet my house that the goalie is most appreciative of what Seth Jones does. The fact that he gets on the scoreboard and does what he does behind the blue line, behind the lines, underneath the radar, I would say is an amazing thing. I think he is very underrated.
I hear you, Leo, and I agree with pretty much all of that. Hey, I got to get to a break, but thanks for chiming in as always, okay? You have a good night.
Hey, be good.
All right, that is Leo from Albuquerque. Yeah, I want to talk about this a little bit more, but we do have to get to another break. Blackhawks beat the Buffalo Sabres in overtime, 4-3. We're also hoping to hear from Luke Richardson, maybe a Blackhawk or two, all here on the postgame show. 720 WGN. A 4-3 overtime winner for the Blackhawks tonight against the Buffalo Sabres. I'm Joe Brand. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show, taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight. Seth Jones had the equalizer in the third period. He had an assist on Philip Kurashev's goal that gave the Blackhawks, got the Blackhawks within one, and then he had the overtime game-winning goal to give the Blackhawks team their first win over the Buffalo Sabres in the last five contests. Let's hear from the guy who scored the game winner, in Seth Jones.
How good does this comeback win feel? Obviously, coming off the last game,
it feels really good. We didn't start the way we wanted to in this game, and after the second we came in here and it was all positive talk on what we needed to do to tie it up and get back in the game, and we did that.
To have you scoring twice and Murphy once, that kind of contributions from defense, how nice is that for your group?
Yeah, it's good. It's always nice when the D get involved and help the forwards out, putting the puck in the net. We haven't done it enough this year, so it's nice to kind of start getting that going for us.
What was that
more in the second half?
Sorry. Was that a fun third period to be a part of? It seemed like it was just back and forth.
It was a lot of fun. They're a good team. They're highly skilled, so there's kind of chances back and forth a little bit. We didn't want a completely open game, but it kind of happens when you play them. And I thought we did a good job, though, staying with it and making plays when they need to be made.
That celebration after you tied it up, that's as brilliant as I've seen you. I mean,
yeah.
People say you guys have nothing to play for. Clearly, you have something to play for when you're...
Well, we're playing for pride. We're playing for our fans. And, there's no quitting here. As bad as things have gotten, we're always looking to each other to get better, and that's what we want to do every day.
Do you guys need to play a little harder after a game like last time? I mean, I know the first two periods weren't the way you wanted, but does it stick a little bit in your crow?
Yeah, the way the game happened the other day, we wanted to come out and, especially the last game, it's kind of been a long homestand here. We've been home for a while, so we wanted to leave a good taste in the fans' mouth and give them a show and give them a win tonight.
Can you remember any time at any level where you had a tying goal and then the game winner?
I had one a couple years ago in Columbus. I had one, I think, in Carolina.
Did it look like you were shooting more even before the tying goal and the winning?
Yeah.
You just wanted to shoot almost all year.
Yeah, I've been trying to shoot a lot more as of late, and just hasn't really gone in. I had some chances in the second period. Grade A chance at the top of the circle. I missed in that, and I think I broke a stick on the bench there and wasn't happy with myself. It's kind of been that way, so it's nice to see a few go in.
To have a screen like that from Tyler and the tying goal, that'd be nice.
It doesn't go in without him there, right? So, when there's a guy in front taking the goalie's eyes away, you try to get it through there, and he did a great job there.
Is that something you think you guys could do more of, trying to get that?
Sure. I mean, it goes both ways. It seems like when the forwards are there, the D aren't getting it through, and when the D are getting it through, sometimes the forwards aren't there, so there's sometimes there's bickering back and forth at each other and who's right or who's wrong, but like I said before, we're all trying to make each other better.
Want to get to a couple more texts from the 219, Adam from Romeoville. Look at Seth Jones. Yes, he doesn't show up much on the score sheet. I would compare him to Nicholas Hjalmarsson. He never showed much on the score sheet and turned out to be one of the best Hawks defensemen ever. I understand the comparison. I don't know if I totally agree with it, though. Hjalmarsson was a guy that everyone loved. I think his biggest attribute was blocking all the pucks that he did. But I get where you're going, and it's what I was saying earlier. It's the little things that Jones does that don't show up on a score sheet that maybe makes people more critical of him. But also, I mean, let's face it, He's the highest paid Blackhawks defenseman right now. He is. He came over in the trade with Columbus, then signed the extension. So, of course, he's going to be held to court every single year with how well he does because of how much he's getting paid. That comes with the territory. That comes with the job. But I also don't think that that just gives every fan the right to just go ahead and grill him every time he's not racking up the score sheet because, again, he's a defenseman. The game of hockey now, yes, there's a lot of value in defensemen that can score, but that's not going to be every player on the defense. So it's great to see Seth Jones contributing offensively right now, and hopefully he does prove those naysayers wrong. But I also think that fans need to start taking a little bit of a closer look when they judge his game and not just go ahead and value it from what shows up on the score sheet. We've got more to get to, but we got to get to another break. Hawks beat the Buffalo Sabres in overtime, 4-3 tonight at the United Center. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN. Wrapping up the Blackhawks postgame show after a 4-3 overtime win over the Buffalo Sabres. I'm Joe Brand. Just want to reference a couple of the texts that we've been getting. People asking, when is the goalie interference reviewed from Toronto based on the officials, and when is it based on a challenge? I'm getting this article from 2018, and I apologize I don't have the direct answer right now. I will get it for you eventually, though. But the initial review was triggered by one of the nine circumstances that allow for review. The decision to review the play is made by the video goal judge. Coaches are allowed to challenge under two circumstances, goalie interference and offside. The video goal judge and an in-arena officials make the determination on video reviews triggered by one of the nine circumstances. The NHL Situation Room in Toronto has the final decision when a coach's challenge is made. Again, I will try to get a more detailed answer for you some other time. Let's take a look around the NHL. There was a full slate of games on tonight, and we'll begin in Toronto.
Tkachuk for Verhaeghe. Marner back in for Toronto. Nylander far circle, works in, and he scores. Nylander through the far circle, cut to the front of the net, and he scores along the ice, and the Leafs take it 5-4 in overtime.
And overtime winner for Toronto, that's Doug Plagans of WQAM 560 AM, that is of Florida Panthers Radio. The Maple Leafs pick up their 27th win on the season with the overtime game winner. Let's go to our nation's capital.
Gustafson, a right wing pass for Wilson, didn't leave the zone. Middleton holds it. He'll work it towards the slot. Eriksson-Ek had it slapped away. Spurgeon follows it up with a drive. They score! Tipped in front by Greenway! And 50 seconds into the second period, the Wild get exactly what they need. It's a 1-1 game.
Joe O'Donnell of KFAN 100.3 FM, the Wild with a 4-2 winner over the Washington Capitals. That's how the Wild begin their four-game road trip. Let's go to Montreal.
Here's Hoffman. Gives way to Doc. Doc, he gets hit. Now Hoffman lets a shot go. He scores! Mike Hoffman! And just like that, the Canadiens have themselves a 2-1 lead.
And eventually a 4-1 winner over the Winnipeg Jets. Montreal improves to 19-23-3 with the win. Here at the United Center, it was 4-3 Blackhawks in overtime over the Buffalo Sabres. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Citgo. Adventure awaits. Fuel up first with Citgo. Budweiser, ComEd for Business, ComEd powering business, powering lives. United Airlines and Plumbers 911 Chicago. Visit plumbers911.com for emergency plumbing service. Big thanks to all the help we got back at the WGN studios, our production crew of Ben Anderson and Eli Burke. Also, the tireless Krista Flores and Dan Long, our engineers tonight. Here at the United Center, Jack Heinrich was our reporter. Paul Zerang, the Hall of Famer, was spinning the dials. John Weideman and Troy Murray had the call on play-by-play and color. I'm Joe Brand. Again, Hawks beat the Buffalo Sabres 4-3 in overtime. Their next game on the road. They visit the Philadelphia Flyers at 6 o'clock. David Jennings has your news next. After that, it's Raleigh James. Thanks for listening. Hawks win. Have a good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks hockey on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN, streaming on WGNRadio.com and smart devices everywhere.